Now then, let's go on a little further. After that gospel is proclaimed to the world in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this same time, no nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved alive." Humanity would be erased. There wouldn't be a man, woman, or child left alive if God didn't supernaturally intervene to stop it before it goes that far. Now, it's going to start, but it just won't go that far. God will stop it before it gets that far. You know, it did happen once that God blotted out all the lives except eight on the earth. A flood in Noah's day. Jesus said, as it was in the time of Noah, so will it be in the days just before his second coming. Just before his second coming. Now let's go on a little further. But he said, for the elect's sake. Brethren, that is you and the rest of our brethren around the world in the church of God. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened before it's too late. Before all humanity is destroyed. It got down to eight people in Noah's day. I think it will not get down to that small a number this time, but it'll a great many millions, millions and hundreds of millions of people that are now living are going to be killed in the next few years, brethren. You're right on the threshold of things. I don't know. I think sometimes we sit there and we think, yeah, it was a nice sermon Mr. Armstrong preached. I was entertained by it. Well, I think you'd better be startled by it. Because the end of our work is at hand. And the end of this life is about at hand. Things are going to happen that are going to shake you up, brethren. And shake the whole world in a way it's never been shaken before. Now dropping down to verse 29, same chapter. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens, which means Satan and his demons, shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, that's all of the nations, and then shall they see the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And all the supernatural power of the great God to take over this earth and to rule. That's what we celebrated on the Day of Atonement. I wonder if we just think that we celebrate these annual holy days just as sort of a custom. It doesn't mean anything. You know, they're looking forward to the greatest event that are going to just, well, stagger this world beyond words. I don't know how to put it in a way to, sometimes I think I need to shake everybody up and make us realize the seriousness of these things, and I just feel like I'm totally unable. I just don't have the power to do it. I read in the Bible how people have been just so nonchalant and they're just not interested. Just like in Thanksgiving Day, they were interested in football and turkey. And things like that. Not interested in what they should be. But that means the second coming of Christ. Now, to see what this thing in Europe is going to trigger. I say it'll trigger World War III. Well, let's go on. Let me prove that now. Let me go on and show you a little bit more. The 13th chapter of Revelation. Let's get back to that now. John is telling what he saw in his vision here in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 1. "And I stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast." Now, he takes a wild animal, and this wild animal is only a type of a great nation. And he uses the kind of animal whose nature typifies the nature of the nation or the empire that is talking about. "And he saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. Now, they were not on the heads, but on the horns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Now, it wasn't a leopard. A leopard is cat-like. And a cat is a very quick animal. It moves quickly and gracefully. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. That is the preponderant part of a bear, its feet. And his mouth is the mouth of a lion. That's the strongest part, especially of a male lion, the mouth. And even a female lion. They catch their prey, they break its neck or they snap it, and they kill it with the mouth. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, Revelation 12 and verse 9, the dragon is the dragon, that old serpent called Satan and the devil. And it identifies him right just ahead of this in chapter 12, verse 9. The dragon gave him his power and seat and great authority. Now, Satan is sitting on the throne of the earth. And this is Satan's world, not God's world. And it is Satan. Now, God gave Nebuchadnezzar his seat. Nebuchadnezzar did not take it. But Satan has given that seat to those in the times of the Gentiles ever since Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall and his kingdom was taken that night. Satan has given the power and Satan great authority, and they have served he's the God of the world. He appears as an angel of light and deceived people don't know they are deceived. Brethren, I don't say this thing to accuse. I don't say it because I'm angry at the people, at the so-called beast or beast power or the person. And maybe I already know in person, somewhat intimately, the one who will be that beast. If so, I feel sorry for him. And I don't accuse him of anything because he believes he is right. He's sincere. And we need to realize that. God has not called us to sit in judgment. Christ is the judge. Let us be thankful God has opened our eyes, our minds, and called us out. Come out from among them in this world and be separate. The world is deceived. But there's a lot of good in this world. You know, the people in this world, they have their professional ethics. They're people of what they call high morals, of high standards, good standards. Oh, yes, they think they're right. And yet they don't have God's Spirit. They don't have the love of God. It isn't their fault. They don't know any better. We're not to sit in judgment of them. We're not to hate them. We're not their enemies. They're not our enemies. Well, I hope they're not our enemies anyhow. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. That's the last head, the Roman Empire. And his deadly wound was healed. That was in 554, as I just told you, the Holy Roman Empire. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now, you have to go back to Daniel 7 to learn what is meant by the symbol beast. In Daniel 7, Daniel saw four beasts. The first was like a lion, the second like a bear, the third was a leopard. It had four heads, and the last one had the combination of all of those first four, but different from all of them. And it had one head, but it had 10 horns. So there you have the 7 heads and 10 horns, and so on. Now, it said that they are kings or kingdoms or empires. The beasts, then, are kings or kingdoms, as you read in Daniel 7. Now, also it says in Daniel 7, I won't take time to go back and read all of that, the saints are finally going to take the kingdom and rule the kingdom forever, that the Gentile empires, from the Chaldean Empire on down through the Roman Empire and to this coming reunion in Europe, it's finally going to be taken over by the saints. And we will rule under Christ forever. Now, I read to you from Daniel 2:44. And in Daniel 2, you find who those empires are. The one, the lion, The head was the same as the head of the image, and that was Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean Empire. The bear, then, is the Persian Empire. The leopard was the Greco-Macedonian Empire, divided into four divisions for its four heads. And the other, strong as iron, was the Roman Empire. Now, it had 10 horns, and each of those horns became another head, as you find in the 7th chapter of Daniel. Now then, I want to go back to the 17th chapter of Revelation. The 17th chapter of Revelation, and notice the first 6 verses. And there came one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials. Now these are the 7 last plagues poured out at the time of Christ's coming. Remember, I'm reading you what John saw in a vision. And what he saw in the vision is just before the coming of Christ. And so the 7 angels, having the 7 vials that are poured out, are plagues poured out on the very time of the coming of Christ. And he talked with me, and saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore. That is, God is doing the judging, or Christ is doing the judging, on a great whore, a fallen woman, that setteth upon many waters. Now, she sits on many waters. And down here in verse 9. I got so many marks on here, I can't even read it. The 7 heads are 7 mountains. No, which the woman sitteth? No, that's another place. Oh, here. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages, or tongues. In other words, many nations speaking many different languages. In other words, Europe. Same thing, all there, just what I've been telling you about. See, the great whore that sitteth on many waters, that is, many nations speaking different languages, with whom the kings of the earth, of those who have committed fornication. He claimed to be the church. The church is supposed to be the affianced bride of Christ. But she didn't wait to be married to Christ at his second coming. She was married to the kings of this world. Now, the Pope's name, he's called the Vicar of Christ. I wonder if you know what vicar means. Look it up in the dictionary. Vicar of Christ means in place of Christ. It doesn't mean a representative of Christ. It means one who has just shoved Christ aside or knocked him out of the way and taken over. One who said, Christ, get out of here. I'm taking over for you. I'm running it now. In place of Christ. The Roman Catholic Church has claimed that the kingdom of God is the Roman Catholic Church. That the Pope is in the place of Christ. The second coming of Christ occurred. He is ruling the nations of the world. And they ruled for 1260 years, the nations of Europe, and they call it a Holy Roman Empire. That's why the Bible speaks of her in such terms. Of rottenness, of filthiness. Let me go on and read it to you. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. Now, the beast is the civil government, the political government. The woman is a church. A beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple, that's the color of royalty, and scarlet, the color of a harlot or a whore, and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. A woman is always a symbol of a church. A civil government is spoken of in the masculine gender, in symbol in the Bible. In her hand, full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead, the church's forehead, was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. In other words, the Babylonian mystery religion, the ancient pagan Babylonian mystery religion, now called falsely Christianity, and claiming to be the original church. And notice that. And a mother of harlots who came out of her protesting and calling themselves Protestant in protest. And God calls them harlots, brethren. Now, they're deceived. They don't know it. I'm not calling them names. I'm reading you what God says. It is God who is doing it. God has a right to call them names if he wants to. I'm not doing it. Harlots and abominations of the earth. This thing is filthy in God's sight. And yet we've come up among some of that. We've believed a lot of that. And Christ has said, come out from among them and be separate. Christ has called his church out from among all of that to be separate, brethren. And we have to live a different kind of life. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. You know that she called them, if they kept the Sabbath instead of Sunday, they were declared heretic or anathema from Christ. Now, the accusation, anathema from Christ, made by the church, was considered a capital crime by the government. And the government, the political state, put them to death. And they were martyred. And the woman is drunken on the blood of the saints. The woman says, oh, I never killed anybody. Oh, no, we didn't put anyone to death. No, we just pronounced them anathema from Christ. It was the government. The government put them to death. But the woman sat on top of the beast. A woman riding a horse is weaker. The horse is much stronger. It carries her, but she makes it go, you know, gee or haw, turning right or left. And she controls it and guides it, which way it goes and what it does. And that's exactly what happened. A woman riding a beast. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and of the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered in great admiration. Now we come down to verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. Now I have to get the time of this prophecy. At what time was John seeing in his vision? And I think it was right around the year of 1934. And that's about the time that Mussolini claimed that he had revived the so-called Holy Roman Empire. As I say, I don't think it even made front page headlines. But I saw it, and I announced it on the air at the time myself. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. You say it's to come out one more head yet and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder when they behold whose names that are not written in the book, all except those in the church. They are going to just look on with absolute dumbfounded wonder when they see this United States of Europe rise up. Now, undoubtedly, Greece will be in. The Pope is going back to Poland in just a few months. And they're declaring this coming year a certain year of rejuvenation of Europe. And I know that they're planning to try to put it over in this coming year. They know they've got to work fast now. And it's going to go to pieces, fit in piece, not to pieces, very, very soon. Now, let me show you a little bit of the final and the end of it. The ten horns, in verse 12 I want, the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. The beast will be over the ten nations. Each nation will have a king on its throne. There may be five in Western Europe, five in Eastern Europe. Poland may break away. Czechoslovakia would like to. I'm pretty sure that Romania would. I've been there three times. And I've had even the top people from Romania right near the top of the government as our guest here in Pasadena. And they say that we are communists, but we certainly are not Moscow communists. And they would like to cut loose from Moscow. And also, so would the former nation of Tito, or Yugoslavia. Now, Yugoslavia seems to be hanging together. It's really several nations put together, and I thought they might split after Tito died, but they seem to be holding, and I think that they might come in. Undoubtedly, Greece will come in. The people I saw are very anxious in Athens are very anxious to come into this. And strangely enough, even the United States politicians want this thing to go through in Europe. They're all for it. But now, notice this. These have one mind and shall give their power and their strength to the beast. They see in the military power of their nations. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. That means the second coming of Christ. They will fight against Christ when he comes. Now that gets you right down to the very time just before the second coming of Christ. Now I'm afraid I'm going to have to take a little extra time. I still got a little time. I hope I can get this without going over time. But now next, I want to show you what connection that has with the Great Tribulation and with the United States and with us. Isaiah 47 now. Back in Isaiah 47. And beginning in verse 1. Now let me see. I want the first seven verses. Isaiah 47. Come down, this is a prophecy, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Now remember, the ancient Babylon was always a he, a masculine gender, under King Nebuchadnezzar, 604 years before Christ, down to 554 B.C. That was in the masculine gender. But this is a daughter of that Babylon. This is a church. Remember, the her is always a church. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit in the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. A church that has been riding on top of government speaking different languages. This ties right in with what I just read you in the book of Revelation. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate in female terms. Take the millstone and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. And I will take vengeance. That's God speaking. I will take vengeance. And I will not meet thee as a man. That is, God won't meet as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Eternal of Hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel, meaning Christ, sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. A church riding over governments, the Lady of Kingdoms. God says, I was wroth with my people, and his people are Israel. And we are Israel, and you have to know who is Israel and who is Judah to understand this. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance, which is Israel, and given them into thine hand, this church, riding over the kingdoms, and given them into thine hand, and thou didst show them no mercy. Now notice that. Thou didst show them no mercy upon the ancient, hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. Notice that yoke is going to be on our people by this very united Europe. And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever. That's this daughter of Babylon. So that thou didst not lay these things to heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Now, there's a great deal more of the prophecy, and I'm just cutting it short to give you the general meat of it as quickly as possible. It's addressed to the house of Israel. The next chapter starts out to hear this, O you house of Israel, and so on. This message all the way through is to the house of Israel, which is Britain and the United States and the English-speaking people. Now, next I'd like to go to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30, and beginning with verse 2. For lo, the days come, says the Eternal, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. Now, for example, the Israelis are really Judah and not Israel, but there are more Jews in New York City than there are in Palestine or in the country called Israel. And there are almost as many even out here in Los Angeles. There are a great many Jews in Los Angeles. And for some reason, the Los Angeles Jews they misunderstand us and they have been against us. And I wish they weren't. I wish they knew how we've cooperated with their own people over in the nation Israel, and what friends we have with them over there. For lo, the days come that I'll bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Eternal of hosts. I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers. That's back in Palestine. And they shall possess it. Now that's after the second coming of Christ. And these are the words that the Eternal spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah, showing their two different peoples altogether, because they were divided. For thus says the Eternal, we have heard a voice of trembling and of fear, not of peace. Ask you now and see whether a man doth travail with a child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? And all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for the day is great, so that there is none like it. In other words, there can only be one time so great and so terrible that nothing has ever been like it before or ever will again. Again, it's the great tribulation, so that none is like it. Even the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, Jacob means Israel, not Judah, in this case. Because the dying Jacob crossed his hands on the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, and said, let my name, Jacob, be named on them. So we have that name, Jacob, not Judah. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It's the day of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. He'll get into it, but be saved out of it after he gets into it. But it's going to be terrible. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Eternal of hosts, that I will break his yoke from thy neck. Remember I said that Babylon, the daughter of the ancient Babylon, will have a yoke on us? And here it is again. From off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds. Strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Eternal, their God, and David, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. That is the resurrection at the coming of Christ. David is to be resurrected and is to be king over all of the nations that come from the 12 tribes of Israel. That includes the United States, the Israelis, Britain, France, Holland, Sweden, Norway, all of these countries. And David will be resurrected and be king over us. Now the next scripture that I want to read is Jeremiah 50. And the first four verses. The word of the Eternal against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Now let's see, I want to hear the first four verses. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard, publish, and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces, for out of the north there cometh up a nation against her. Now this is against Babylon, and this is speaking of the communist countries finally coming against what you would call Catholic Europe, which are, and Russia is to the north and they are to the south. Out of the north there cometh up a nation against her. They shall make her her land desolate, and none shall dwell there. And they shall remove and shall depart, both man and beast. In those days and at that time, says the Eternal, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. Going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Eternal, their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Eternal in a perpetual covenant. That's the new covenant. And then he goes on to say, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray, the ministers. They have turned them away on the mountains. There's various nations, it means here. They have gone from mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place. Then it says, beginning with verse 8, remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans. And as for the goats before the flocks, to Israel, God says a lot of those things. And there's a lot more here, but it shows that he's talking about the time just before the second coming of Christ and going into that time. Our people are going to be taken slaves, the third that are left alive. Now, in all of our dwelling places, our cities are going to be destroyed. That is in Ezekiel. Well, let me see. I think I have that all marked out here to read that. Here it is in Ezekiel 6 and verses 6 and 8. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste. Again in verse 8, and the slain shall fall in the midst of you. And this is to the house of Israel, not to Judah. This is to the United States and Britain and our people and our nations. If you don't know that, you can't understand it. And the slain shall fall in the midst before you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now that expression, you shall know that I am the Lord, or the Eternal, is one that occurs several times in Ezekiel's prophecy. Always it refers to the second coming of Christ. They did not know he is the Eternal. They will know it when he comes the second time. And that is mentioned a good many times there. Now that is repeated here just a few verses later. Let me see, it's over in the 12th chapter and verse 20. And thy cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. That's the second coming of Christ. These are things that will happen just before the coming of Christ, and then he's going to take us and those that are left alive of our people back. Now then, you also have to read in the third chapter of Revelation, speaking of the Philadelphia era of the church, we are going to be taken to a place of safety or to a place of protection. during this time. And I don't know how to make anything else out of it. And that's in two different places in the Bible. That we, and again, the 12th chapter of Revelation, we're to fly into a place where it is prepared. Now, how God is going to do that, how he's going to bring it, we just have to trust him in faith to open our minds to understand it when the time comes, and I think it's now going to come very, very soon. Well, brethren, I've been preaching this now for the last 48 or 49 years. That's before a great many, I'd say half of you, have been born since that time. And now it's all coming to pass. And it is reality. It's going to come very soon. You can laugh it off. You can go out and say, well, I think that we've called Mr. Armstrong God's apostle. I guess he's just a crackpot if you want to. Or you can heed and be protected. Now let me tell you what else is going to happen. And this is one thing that has been seen in Rome very lately. Tags giving the days of the week and showing that the seventh day of the week is Sunday and that Monday is the first day of the week. And the Saturday is the sixth day of the week. You get the significance of that, brethren? They've been trying to change the calendar in Europe for the past 20, 30, 40 years. They haven't changed it yet. The new United States of Europe will do it. Now, there is one commandment that is the test commandment. I want to tell you, the people of the world and of Protestantism and of Catholicism, they will admit that we shouldn't have other gods before the true God, the first commandment. They will admit that we should not make images. I don't know if the Catholic Church will or not, but the Protestants, most of them will, of God. That we shouldn't take his name in vain. They will admit that we should honor our parents. They will admit that we shouldn't commit adultery, that we shouldn't lie, we shouldn't steal. It's wrong to steal. Murder is wrong. Only as we have human laws against those things, against stealing and murder especially. And of course, lying sometimes, if you lie in court and it's called perjury, why, you can be held in contempt of court and get fined. Of course, it's done all the time anyway. And it's wrong to covet. But they won't admit that the seventh day is the Sabbath and that it is holy to God and we're commanded to keep it holy. There is one commandment they will not accept. That is God's test commandment. And it's going to be a test for us. And the mark of the beast is soon going to be enforced. And you're going to find that you will not be able to have a job, you will not be able to buy anything, you will not be able to receive any money, unless you turn back to Sunday. Brethren, I tell you, that's going to happen in the very next few years. And it may happen by next year or the year after. The mark of the beast is going to be enforced, which is Sunday, instead of Sabbath. Sabbath is God's sign. I've got to preach some more sermons on it. And I've just heard that I didn't realize that when this church was beginning to go liberal, just before I began to work might and main to put it back on the track, here only 3-4 years ago, that they were also beginning to say, oh, well, you can buy all your merchandise, you can work if you have to, or anything on the Sabbath. They were saying that, even the ministers in this church. They're gone. They're out of here now. And you show me any minister that will say that now, and I'll see that he gets out of the church in a hurry. Because no such minister belongs in the church of God. It's time this church gets cleaned up. It's time we get all the way back on the track. I've been moving every way I could to get us back on the track. I'm pretty well torn apart physically. I'm past 90 years of age now. And I still have to be the dynamo that keeps it going. I can hardly read. I just see out of one eye, and it's so blind I bothered you, and I'm sorry, I apologize for having had you have to sit there while I struggle to try to read the Bible to you. But I do the best I can. And I hope you'll do the best you can, brethren. You know, I'm just reminded, last time I saw Mrs. Thatcher of England, the Prime Minister, as we were leaving, she said, well, there's one thing our two countries, the United States and Britain, must absolutely continue to hang together. And I said, well, if we don't hang together, we probably hang separately. And that's the way it is with us, brethren. We had better get on the track and be sure that we are there. I wish you could have all heard the sermon this morning. I have to preach on things like this. I have to bring these things to you. Other ministers can bring you spiritual food for your everyday living. But there are things like this that I have to bring to you. Now, we're going to have to get back onto the Sabbath question, and what is the mark of the beast? I've been giving you a little bit about who the beast is now this afternoon. All of a sudden, I've been preaching this for years, and now, all of a sudden, these things are all falling into place. It's going to happen. The question is, are we ready? We're going to be put into a test that you can't dream of. The test commandment is going to be a test, and your life is going to depend on whether you can trust God or whether you will give in. And I predict that some of you are going to give up the Sabbath and give in and go with the world. But the plagues of God will be on you if you do that. But everything that the civil government and police and the power of man can do to you will be on you if you don't give in on the Sabbath Sunday question. Where are you going to stand? You're going to be put to a test such as you've never had before, brethren, and very soon. And I tell you, the time has come when you better do a little fasting and praying and get back close to God and be sure that you're so close to Him that you can rely on Him, that you can trust Him. Because you're going to have to trust Him with your life, and very soon. Now, I hope this shakes you up a little bit, because if I can shake you up now, that's fine. But if I don't, the conditions in the world are going to shake you up, and very soon. Let's all get back, and we better hang together. So, pray for me as I pray for you. We need to pray for one another now as never before. Thank you, brother.